Well, I'm heading home now, and in podcast 905, we're going to talk about what I've seen, what it's like to be out here in Middle America, living and working in Mobile Podcast Command for about a month in podcast 905, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Now, I have a lot of things I have to say. First of all, I have to thank Mike for $250 donation to Mobile Podcast Command, which is amazing. And I want to mention something that hopefully there'll be time. If you hear this podcast in time, because it's February 20th, 2020, there is going to be a dog fashion show. I'm actually going to hopefully get home in time to go to this and record it, because I think it'd be a great podcast. And what they're saying is they want people to join them for an evening to celebrate all things furry and raise money for animals in need. Free parking, light appetizers, cash bar, silent auction, merchandise, games, photo booth, and adoptable animals in this fashion show, which is basically going to be at Unleashed Hounds and Hops, 200 East Lindale Avenue North, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55405. Tickets and all of the, revenue from this thing will go to inspireandflourish.org, which helps these pets. So I just want to mention that. And I also want to thank Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast, both the stuff we did from Ohio as well as this trip. Virtus Law has offices in Cambridge, Minnesota, Edina, Maplewood, Red Wing, Mendota Heights, even down here in Dallas, Texas, which makes them big time, of course. Why do I advertise Virtus Law? Well, if you're a small business owner, and I've mentioned this a couple times, you probably don't think strategically, and you might think a step or two ahead, but when it comes down to it, you don't think really far ahead. Maybe even you have an attorney who tries to think a little bit ahead of the game, but today that's just not going to be enough. To be on top of things today, you need a lawyer who thinks strategic and is a strategic planner. When it comes to things like management service agreements, succession for family-owned businesses, estate planning, partnerships, and of course, asset protection, debt issues, and income tax planning, those are almost normal when it comes to HR. You wouldn't believe the stories that I have heard about companies that have not thought strategically and gotten themselves into trouble. And for that, you need Nathan W. Nelson at Virtus Law. Let's be honest, most lawyers don't really give you strategic advice. They might do whatever you need them to do, but if you're the owner of a growing business, you might be frustrated with not getting strategic advice from your current attorneys. You want to look at long-term planning and not short-term transaction, and that is what Nathan W. Nelson, one of the co-founders at Virtus Law, does. V-I-R-T-U-S, Virtus Law, full legal services, strategic planners with fees structured reasonably. Call Nathan Nelson at 612-888-1000. That's 612-888-1000, or you can check him out online at Virtus Law Online, or you can click on the Virtus Law banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcasts.com.
I had contacted her and asked her to write a Sunday night.
What were you going to say? Actually, I have text messages from her. There's some current there. I have text messages from her.
It's truck stop, shower, and wash day on the road. I'm at a Pilot just north of San Antonio, Texas. It's already spring down here. It's still cooler, way cooler than it was down on the beaches, but it is. There's definitely spring in the air, and the grass is green. And to a Minnesotan used to February's full of ice and snow, this is pretty awesome. Truck stops and Walmarts are havens for van dwellers and people on the road and truckers. As far as truck stops are concerned, I like Love's, I like TA's. I've been to some independent truck stops that are pretty bad, and I've been to some truck stops that have different names that I don't remember that are pretty good. I certainly like Love's, I like TA's, but my favorite truck stops are Pilot's. I don't know why, but I love Pilot, and I have for quite some time. I've been a big fan of Pilot. In fact, one time, I think I was in Tennessee, I looked up and saw the world headquarters for Pilot's, and I thought, oh my God, that's the world headquarters of Pilot, one of my favorite companies. And part of the reason for Pilot and Loves, I think Pilot and Loves are the same company, but Pilot originally was different from Loves. But one of the things I love about these truck stops, Loves, Pilots, they all have them, but my favorite Pilots, there is nothing like the truck stop shower when you've been out on the road for 3 days and you haven't had a shower. If you've never had the wonderful experience of paying $9 or $12 for a shower at Pilot or Love's or one of the truck stops, let me tell you, after you've been traveling for a while and you've been out and you haven't had a shower and you're working, as I have been, in the truck, which is not an RV and does not have a shower, having a shower, a high-quality shower at a truck stop where you get a private room and you key in and you've got a toilet in there and it's fabulous and it's super clean, and I love the showers at the truck stops. They are pure luxury compared to anything else in constant travel, even the state parks or the national park showers. And of course, if you don't stay at a state park or a national park or an RV place with a laundry, well, then you've got one here at Pilot. And so that is what I'm doing here today, is just doing all my laundry, which is a great feeling as well. And then they have a little lounge here for the professional drivers. And doing this, I got to say that I have developed a great respect for these truckers who have to live at these places. They are at truck stops all over the country, depending on where they're taking their loads. And so it's always interesting to sort of to watch the culture at these truck stops in terms of what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. I had an experience earlier, I guess it was yesterday, we were someplace at a pretty bad truck stop. It was down near, I think it was in Fur, Texas, and it was pretty bad. And one of the drivers was like, you know, when you walk into the bathroom and you see used toilet paper in the trash can, you got to wonder what possesses people and why they can't just follow certain rules and why these bathrooms get so messed up. So when you're traveling, a lot of people think truckers don't care. They care. So I have a lot of respect for truckers that live at these places. And I like truck stops. I don't like to pull into the area where people sit in their cars or sleep in their cars overnight when they're traveling. I go in the back with the trucks. And Mobile Podcast Command certainly is a diesel, so I'm kind of a trucker. But it really isn't. And so I have to be very respectful of the truckers when I'm back parked in that area to make sure I don't park where a semi could park. I try to find a little corner where I'm not taking up any space for one of the big trucks. I don't think they really care, but I worry that they do. So when you spend a lot of time at the truck stops, you really develop a certain level of respect for these guys. And, of course, truck stops, as we walk through this truck stop, they got a whole supply of snacks, a lot of fried foods like chicken, barbecue, tacos, burritos. They got a Subway with, of course, 24 hours of television. Whenever I go to truck stops, usually it's not CNN or Fox. It's interesting that it isn't. It's usually People's Court, like what is on now, or something to that effect, or some nondescript weird show that you would never see anywhere else but a truck stop. Not to mention all the other stuff they have here, like fluorescent yellow and orange jackets, tools of all kinds of additives for your diesel, which I don't know what they do, so I don't want to try them. A whole case of CB radios, microphones and antennas, straps, tape, flashlights, suction cups, these industrial bungee cords, inverters. And of course, none of this stuff do I use, but it's nice to know it's all there if you ever really need that, depending on where you are and what you're doing. Like I said, I love Pilot, but I never eat at Subway, McDonald's, anything like that in general, because I have learned it does not lead to feeling good when you're on there. It's better just not to eat. Although I do stop at McDonald's and get coffee every now and then. That's all I ever get from McDonald's, although sometimes I'll get a burrito or something, but most of the time I get nothing. What I do is before I leave, I buy a big supply of Trader Joe's beef jerky, salted and unsalted organic mixed nuts, a couple of grass-fed steaks, eggs, almond milk, I buy cases of water, and then I also, before I leave, I cook up a big batch of hamburger and rice before I leave. And then I always have good stuff in the cooler to eat. So eating on the road is not a problem for me because I have home-cooked meals on the hot plate or the camp stove, and then I have protein smoothies for breakfast, or I can heat up some hamburger, and I always lose weight on the road because I just don't eat. I don't want to eat as much, and I don't want to eat at these places. Yes, I will go to a restaurant, and I will have usually a chef salad or a Cobb salad or something like that, but for the most part...
May I get a courtesy check on the men's and women's restrooms, please? Thank you.
Welcome, professional drivers. As a courtesy to other drivers, please pull forward from the diesel islands when you are finished fueling. Thank you.
I don't eat on the road at restaurants. It's, first of all, it gets really expensive. And second of all, it's just not good for you. And then, of course, today, after I finish my laundry, I'm headed to San Antonio's ritzy section on the north side of town where there's a Trader Joe's just off I-37, which I've learned when it comes to the big cities, it's better to use. You know, I make a big deal out of using maps and compasses. Now that my friend Steve gave me a couple of compasses to use, they have, by the way, Steve, they have come in, you can't imagine the number of times that I have gone the wrong way, looked down at the compass and seen that I was going north when I should have been going south or whatever. They are instrumental in navigating, and I use maps all the time. But when it comes to big cities, you gotta get on Google and get directions to where you want to go. So I found a Trader Joe's on the north side of San Antonio, just off 37, and then once I get what I need to get there, which is my little package of Trader Joe's stuff, then that includes the beef jerky and the nuts and things like that. Then I'll be able to jump directly on 281 and head back north to Oklahoma. And in the second half of this podcast, I want to make a few observations about what this trip has meant to me. Well, I've had my printer with me the entire time, and it is a boat anchor, but that's not the reason. I actually love the printer. I hate paying for print cartridges. That's why I use Cartridge World in Maple Grove. They get me up to 30% on those very expensive cartridges that you get at the big box retailers. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Call Cartridge World Metro-wide, 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Well, I mention it every time because I've seen so much industry and so much going on in this country traveling on these back roads. It's actually pretty amazing. And, of course, there's lots of talk about foreign manufacturing with the whole situation with China and, of course, President Trump's stuff. Some companies are preparing to bring some of their manufacturing back to the U.S., or they're bringing pieces of it back to the U.S. If you're in the decision-making chain at a major company and you're looking for American manufacturing, remember DepoStar, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit them at DepoStar.com or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. The other thing I got to mention is, you ever notice the music at the truck stops? Sometimes it's country. Sometimes it's a mix of really bad country. And I don't mean classic country. I mean the new country that Loretta Lynn hates. It sounds like 70s rock, but you can't place it. And then every now and then, and this is another reason I like Pilot, they got really good classic rock on. So I've heard Bob Seger, and I've heard Billy Joel, so it's kind of neat to just, I don't usually listen to classic rock, but it's kind of neat to hear these songs here while I'm doing my laundry. So this has turned out to be a mega trip. You know, usually when I go out, I'm out for a couple of weeks. And this time I've been out for almost a month, and I love it. And I've mentioned a couple of times that, first of all and foremost, looking at a map of Texas and traveling Texas are two different things. I'm sure this is going to come up 100 times in future podcasts. Texas is amazing. It is vast. It is varied. I love the beaches down on the Matagorda Peninsula and, of course, South Padre Island. And yesterday I went to the border with Mexico, and saw where they are building the famous border wall. Most of the border with Texas is actually just a berm that is patrolled by the Border Patrol. And what happened yesterday was I went along the border and I saw what is going on in this particular area. So Brownsville is, I believe, the southernmost border with the United States. So, Brownsville is really the most southern continental border of the United States. Certainly the Florida Keys mark the southernmost portion of the United States. But the border with Mexico, Brownsville, is as far south as it gets. And so you travel along, and I'm driving along this road. I think it's 281. And I'm driving along this road, and I see this line of palm trees. And I thought, well, that must be a hotel. I don't know why they'd have a hotel here. No, it's not a hotel. It's a farm, and a huge farm with a beautiful hacienda, ranch-style home down there. And I look in the fields, and I see all these, Hispanic people working in the fields. And, of course, the border is literally steps from where they are working. And then, you know, everywhere you go down there, from Brownsville all the way to Farr and further north through Farr, it's an election season down there, and we don't see lots of posters for national candidates. What we see are posters and yard signs for local county commissioners and Democratic or Republican, state party leaders and so forth, and virtually all of them are Hispanic names, every one of them. So you're talking about Hernandez's and Trejo's and everybody else, and even the women who have hyphenated names will have their hyphenated names. So it's Susan Ocasio Hernandez, so everyone knows that she's fully Hispanic and didn't just marry a Hispanic guy, I guess. I don't know. But I think it's interesting because that portion of the U.S. border has always been mixed in terms of where people have come from, because they're all from that region. And I'm sure that there are Hispanic people in that part of the country that have been there since before the United States was a country. Their families have lived in that region. And it's very agricultural. It's very dusty. It's very farmy, but not in a Minnesota, Iowa, North Dakota way. It's industrial farming. It's very large farming, and it is rough. It's a rough region, and I wanted to keep going, but I couldn't on this trip. So then I turned north, and as I was coming up 281, you come up 281 about, 70, 80 miles. And remember, the land bridge, they call it the land bridge. It's just nothing but a bridge where truckers are allowed to go through down there at Farr, I believe. As you head north, you are required to get off and go into an immigration or a customs facility where you're essentially going over the border, even though I never left the United States. You have to go in, and they take your picture, and they talk to you. And, of course, I answered all the questions correctly, so they let me go. But they say, do you have anybody in the vehicle? Do you have anything? Whatever. It's like going through customs, but you're in the United States. That's a little bit of a shock, especially if you didn't go, all through the border. But you have to stop if you're on this highway. So that was my day yesterday. But I think it's really important to point out what that border region actually looks like. And you can see them building this new wall. It's really a fence along that border that sort of snakes through that entire region. And in some parts of that area, Brownsville and all the way over to Farr, Texas, McAllen and so forth, the border is just literally right there at your fingertips. It's look to the left of your truck if you're headed west, and you're going to see the border right there. It's not hiding at all, and I find that fascinating. So that was one of the things. That was kind of one interesting thing about the trip, was being able to actually see the border, and I love that part of it. And again, I am reminded that we are confronted with gloom and literal doom 24/7. Everyone is going to tell us how the coronavirus is going to kill everyone. Everyone is going to tell us how if we don't fix this particular problem, it's the end of the world. It is so easy to get into the rut of being scared, of being cowed, of being fearful or worrying or, predicting the future for yourself or getting involved by telling people what you think is going to happen, those kinds of things. And when you do that, and I speak for myself as well, you don't see what is right in front of you. But when you travel on the highways, the back roads, what I see is a country that is a force of nature. And I really think this is an important thing that needs to be said. If you think about it, so much of what all of us do every day has so little to do with our capital city, Washington, D.C., or the media's fixation with news out of Washington, D.C. I often talk about when I first moved to Washington, when I was very, very, you know, late teens, I was amazed at how all the local news is national news. Well, the whole country has now become like that. And then you get out here. And back roads travel, for the most part. You're the only car on the road because everybody is on the interstates. And they're whizzing through these places on interstates and they never see anything. It's kind of like flying. And even so, if you drive across the country at interstates, you can't miss some of this stuff. But when you drive through on the highways, you're seeing amazing, amazing things. I don't know if I mentioned it, but I should mention a guy in Oklahoma that I saw. I was pulled over, and I was looking at a map, and I'm wearing a T-shirt, and he said, do you like cold weather? And I said, not really, because I knew he had seen my plates. In fact, he walked by, and I knew that he was going to turn around. And he came and said, are you lost? And he was wearing a big old cowboy hat, and I started talking to him. Turns out he's a lawyer in town, and I said, what are you out here looking for clients, driving up, walk up and down the streets? And he laughed, and he said, no, when you've lived a place like this for 50 years, you get to know everybody, and more than you want to know. And so we talked a little bit. He said, you know, if you stick around a couple days, I'll show you around. And I should have, but you know, I'm on a mission. And he said, you know, this town ain't much to look at, but it's a pretty nice town. I think that's important to point out, that there are places in small towns all over this country. Some fare better than others. Some places are bigger, some are booming, some aren't, some are smaller. But for the most part, what they are made up of is people doing their thing, whatever that is. Lawyers, car repair, farmers, workers, doctors, the stores you pass, the services you pass, real estate, yoga, fitness stuff, and on and on and on, all the categories. And while we're doing it all, in spite of whatever doom is predicted or whatever we're supposed to be worried about, we just keep doing it. Does it really matter who the president is? Should it really matter? And this trip, you know, was amazing because I went out and covered the caucuses and see these politicians talking to people. Then you drive through the country and you see people doing what they're doing and you begin to think, does it really matter? And should it really matter as much as it seems to? And I will leave that answer to you. But I do think about the woman who works at this Pilot, who sent me a Facebook message the other day, and I mentioned that I really like Pilot on Facebook, and she said she and her husband had worked at this Pilot for quite some time, and it was a really good place to work and a good company, and I just wanted to say thank you to her, as well as to thank you for, you know, to all of the people who help travelers everywhere. Whether it's at the Walmart or whatever. And see, that's it. There's lots of people doing what they do every day. They're never going to win an Academy Award. They're never likely to serve in Congress. They probably won't be making a speech very often unless it's somebody's funeral or graduation or somebody's birthday or even want to be considered important. But they are important to somebody, whether they're just passing through or their family or neighbors or friends or something. And I know that there's tension in some of these places. Not all is well in small town America, just as not is all well in big city America either. But there's a lot that is good too, and we miss it because we pay too much attention to what is being told to us about what is going on. And the crazy thing is, it just seems to happen. If the naysayers and the experts and the future predictors and the scolds would just get out of the way, it happens by itself.
Cross check for departure. Phone, headphones. Let's try not to hit anything today, shall we?
Turn left onto Eagle Ford Way, then turn left onto Texas 1604 Loop East. Turn left onto Texas 1604 Loop East.
I got my keys, and I got my clothes. That's pretty much it.
In a quarter mile, turn left onto I-95.
right. Well, this has been quite a trip, let me tell you. I am about 25, 30 miles from Minneapolis and St. Paul. And I just stopped and I'm heading out. And this is the final leg. And I want to just share what I have done in the last 24 hours. It's been crazy. So 24 hours ago, it's 1:30 Central Time. 24 hours ago, I was in Enid, Oklahoma. And I am now about 15 miles from Shakopee, Minnesota. So that means that in 24 hours, I covered the last one-third of Oklahoma, all of Kansas, all of Nebraska, and Iowa, and now Minnesota. So four states. And if you take it in 2 days, so I stopped at a RV place in, I don't know, I want to say it was called Dover, Oklahoma, something like that. And sorry for driving in the truck, making the noise, but I'm really not. I just want to get home at this point. I think it was Dover, Oklahoma. So really great RV place, $25. I hooked up and fired up the electric heat. It was great. Let the truck rest. And then drove straight through to Sioux City, Iowa, last night. So Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska to Sioux City at about 1 something in the morning. And at that point, I just pulled into a truck stop and let the engine idle and lay down on the bench back there and fell asleep almost immediately and woke up at about 9 o'clock this morning, 8:30, 9 o'clock this morning. And then When you're on the final leg and you're just hot footing it to get home, I'm literally amazed because I pretty much have gone almost, and I don't, it would be another 300 miles, almost border to border. So I started out on the Mexican-American border in Brownsville and far Texas, and came all the way up north, and it is shocking how far north it really is. 1,500 miles, man. Something like that. To get up into the northern reaches of the country, angling all the way to get over to the east to get into Minnesota and get situated so I could come up south of Minneapolis and St. Paul. So a lot of maps, a lot of mapping, lots of double checking, a lot of staying on the route. Once I got the coast, once I did the coastal thing and went to the border, then the mission was over with. And it was time for egress at that point. And so egress took, you know, 2.5 days. Really, the last day, the last full day, three states, big states. So I have to say, it's been an incredible, this has been one of the longest periods that I've been out, and so I left at the end of January. I'm coming back just before February 17th, I'm coming back on the 16th or 15th of February, and this entire time, living and working in the truck, and I'm exhausted. But pleasantly, very happy. Happy about the podcasts I did in Iowa. Happy about the podcasts I've done on the road. And lots of observations that I'm sure will come to the surface over time. So So hitting the back roads, I see a lot of people constructing their dreams, whether it's small businesses or putting additions on their houses. And of course, back in Minnesota, we're getting ready to start doing that because we have a very short contracting season. If you're thinking about adding on to your house, if you're thinking about closing in the sunroom, putting in a new basement to get your teenagers out of your hair, a new kitchen, or you know, maybe a great man cave garage, an epic man cave garage, I'm going to recommend Whitetail Builders because Randy Grabo is awesome. And all the people that work with him love him because he is with you every step of the way. Now, here's the thing. If you're thinking about doing an addition on your house to increase the value rather than buying a new house, Randy needs a little notice because they have to plan their work for the contracting season. Call Randy at Whitetail Builders, 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. They're in Andover, Minnesota. That is Randy's personal cell phone number. He loves talking to people about their plans. Remember, Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, all over the place. I mentioned iTunes. The latest would be Spotify. I got to tell you, I hear lots of people with Android devices on Google Play having problems. Android devices' memory fill up fast, and I can't tell you how many times I've returned emails and said, I think you need to clear all the stuff up your computer, but aside that, I mean, your smartphone or your computer, but aside from that, let me just make a recommendation. If you have an Android, just download the Spotify app and listen to the Bob Davis Podcast on Spotify. Super easy to find, or you can listen to them right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, donating to Mobile Podcast Command. Mike, I'm not going to give your last name. You know who you are. Really appreciate the $250. That is an awesome donation. And so now I can get home. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast, Podcast 905. Boop.